Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let's pray and we'll go on tonight. Lord, we thank you for this psalm. Thank you for opportunity now to be together and to meet together to open your word. Help each one, young and old alike, to hear your word and be spoken to from your Holy Spirit through your word. And you just guide my mind, my mouth, what we say tonight, and that it would be all for your honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 84, it starts out, the title underneath there, if you have it in your Bible, a lot of them do, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Now remember, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they were swallowed up. They were part of the Levite tribe, but apparently there were some of the Korahites or Korah descendants that didn't get swallowed up in that, and they were still serving as descendants in the tabernacle as Levites. We don't know for sure who wrote this. A lot of people think it was David, and I tend to think it probably was, but we don't know for sure who it was. And we don't know exactly for sure why it was written, what time it was written. But the idea here is that probably it was David that wrote it or quoted it and said it, and someone else might have penned it down. And it could very well have been the time when he was on the run from his son Absalom, and he couldn't get to the tabernacle. And so with that understanding in mind, he says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." And verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." I want to talk to you tonight about the blessings of God's house. Would you not agree with me that right now there are probably some people that wish they could go to church? There are people that probably are saying to themselves, "I didn't appreciate it all the time I had it. And now that I can't go, I wish I could." If this was David and he was on the run from Absalom, then he was outside of the city, away from the tabernacle, and it could very well be that he was wishing that he could be where God's house was, that he could be back there. And so he says, how amiable. The word amiable, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary, Webster's 1828. It means lovely or with lovely respect, a lovely idea, deserving, someone who deserves affection, someone who is very deserving of admiration and loveliness and just a very lovely person. And it was interesting that the dictionary said, in almost every sense, in almost every use of the word amiable, it's always in reference to a person being amiable, except for one time in Psalm 84 when it references the tabernacle. But you know what? You know who the real house of God is? You know who the real tabernacle of God is? It's his people. And so it still applies. How amiable is the church? When we say how amiable is the house of God, we're not talking about this beautiful building that we're in right now, although it is a pretty building. We're talking about the church, the people, the individuals who make up the church. How amiable are they? You know, it's amazing how when you can't be together and meet together and assemble together, how you begin to miss one another and appreciate one another even so the more. I mean, believe it or not, Mr. Spear, there might be some people that are missing you, as a matter of fact. I mean, it could be that bad. But anyhow, seriously, don't you understand how it is when you can't be together and then the longing for it? This is the psalmist here. And he's saying, how amiable, how lovely is God's house. Verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I wish I could be back in the courts of the Lord. Look with me back in chapter 42. Chapter 42. Interestingly enough, this also has to do with the sons of Korah. So maybe it was a Levite that wrote this psalm. I don't know. But anyhow, it says in chapter 42, verse 1, as the hart, or deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they say continually to me, where is thy God? While I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I had went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, verse 1, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. What does that remind you of? Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, I look around and I wonder how many of us would need to be told or need to be taken from church, taken from it, have it taken from us, the inability to assemble, whether it's just with our health or with government intervention or whatever it might be, that would remove us from the ability to meet with the house of God. I hope you all understand how blessed we are, how and what a privilege it is. And you might say, oh, I got things to do. Listen, I'm sorry you have that attitude, if that's you. Because there are people out there, and maybe people that are going to watch this later on and listen to this later on, that are going to say, I wish I could have been there live, desiring for God and his courts. And David, or whoever it was that wrote this, said, oh, I wish I could be there. Then look at verse 3, Psalm 84, verse 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I don't know for sure who this was, but whoever it was, maybe one of the last times they were at the tabernacle, they noticed something. Maybe they noticed a little chirping or something, and they looked over, and there was a sparrow and a swallow. There was a sparrow making a little nest for her young. Maybe on the side of the altar, or maybe right underneath of it, or in the leg of it, or in the webbing of it, or something like that. And maybe they thought about telling one of the priests, hey, you better clean that up. And then maybe they thought, well, no, wait a minute. Whose altar is it? And who's in charge of the sparrows? If he doesn't want the sparrow to leave, I guess the sparrow can stay. And now this person can't even get to the tabernacle, and they're saying to themselves, I wish I was free as a bird. I wish I was able to get to the tabernacle as easy as the birds can. You know, it's interesting that the creation is not as suffering right now as much as the people. I saw a sad comic the other day. It showed a family, a man, a wife, and some kids with a mask on inside their living room, staring out the plate glass window of their house, looking outside in the yard. And it showed the dog and the cat and some deer and some squirrels and some rabbits walking by, looking at the caged people inside their house. And this psalmist is saying, I wish I could be like a bird. They got more access to his altar than I do right now. You know? What else does that remind you of? Jesus said in Matthew 10, He said, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without my Father knowing. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And so we think about the eye of God and the blessing of being able to get to God's house. And verse 4 again, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Let me stop here and say, when it comes to praising the Lord, I hope you understand. I hope you, and maybe we don't because we're still spoiled with it. Listen, there are not very many Christians tonight meeting together in America. There's a fraction of the Christians meeting in America tonight than what there used to be. And I don't know if we're fully aware of what we have and the blessing that we have. But listen, we had some good singing tonight. We had some people picking songs, and the songs were perfect, well-picked and well-thought-out. And I don't know if it was just accident or on purpose, but they were great songs to have been sung tonight. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. I feel sorry for the people who are not dwelling in the house, Jada. I feel sorry for the people who have stopped praising him, who are so social media focused that they can't sing anymore. They're not having him sing anymore. They're not having an opportunity to sing anymore. They don't have, and so they can't, they're not able to sing congregational. Listen, I don't know for sure because it hasn't happened yet, but we've been practicing a special song for Resurrection Sunday. It's an awesome song. And I'll tell you what, everybody that's here is going to get a blessing out of it. And oh, for the people who can't hear it. But those that dwell in thy house, they'll still be praising. You know what happens when we get split apart? Divide and conquer. That's what Satan's all about. That's why Satan does not like the assembly of God. Because divide and conquer. We forget. But now listen, tonight, when we go home, wow, what was that song? May the Lord find us faithful. And the words, though we live, though we die, let's just be faithful. And verse 2 talked about no man that warreth entangleth himself. I mean, it starts to remind us of all those verses in the song. And some of the other songs that we sang tonight, the reminders that we have of the singing and the praising. I don't know about you, but just singing some songs tonight took my mind off of all the other stuff, didn't it, you? You look at those words and you start thinking about everything those words mean. By the way, that's why hymns, the old hymns that have so much doctrine in them, are so much better than the contemporary stuff you got out there. Because it reminds you of the Bible. It doesn't sound like something that somebody made up, but something that actually came out of Scripture. And it gives you a boost. And they that dwell in thy house, they're still going to be praising. Unfortunately, there are Christians, as much as I'm not trying to be accusative, but I think there's a lot of Christians that got a more steady dose of internet and Fox News and whatever going on than they do of the Bible. And they haven't sung hymns in a month. Think about it. They, those house dwellers, the church house dwellers, are still praising him. They're the blessed ones, verse 4. Now look at verse 5. They're blessed. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in God, and whose heart are the ways of them. How is he blessed? Well, his strength is in God. How else? Verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. What in the world does that mean? Well, the valley of Baca means the valley of weeping. And I read that nobody really knows where the Valley of Baca was. And I'm kind of wondering if the Valley of Baca really wasn't a geographical location as much as it was a time period in your life. Anybody here besides me ever go through a valley of weeping? And it's kind of, in my mind anyway, it's kind of a play on words here, because who passing through the valley of weeping make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. In other words, your tears, like rain, turn into well water for somebody else. What are you saying, Pastor? You know, we're only reading from a psalm because somebody else had some Valley of Baca. You know, a little bit ago, we sang a song called It Is Well. You know why that song exists, James? You know why that song exists? Because a man named Horatio Spafford lost his daughters. They were all drowned in the ocean. And he wrote this song. When peace like a river attends my way, and then when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You know why I can now go through the Valley of Baca and weep with a little more confidence? Because somebody else went through it before me, shed tears and cried rain, but they left some pools of water for me. You know, sometimes I listen to a Louis L'Amour on an audio as I'm driving down the road. It keeps us awake. And well, there's some good stories out there. And there's this guy. The bad guys took him way out in the middle of the desert, dropped him off, left him to die. And then he started remembering what the old Indian told him about some water that might be in a certain oasis. And of course, the rest of the story, you're just listening to him trying to get from one place to another, and just praying and hoping that there's a little bit of well water there. Let me ask you a question. Did Horatio Spafford cry tears? But did he leave us some well water? Doesn't God have a way? I mean, you read and you realize you're having all these troubles and trials, but then you read the book of Acts and you say, hey, they went through stuff that's even worse than what we're going through. And yeah, we got some weeping going on, but there's some wells there that they left for me to have some. They left some leftover for me. How about it? I don't know how Haley picked it, but meet me there is an encouragement, isn't it? And, of course, other songs we sang tonight as well. Let me finish talking here. Freshwater. You know what? Don't be afraid of the Valley of Baca. The Valley of Weeping, because I learned a lot there. I hope you have too. And not only that, but someone else has gone before us. And Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Joseph picked the song, He Leadeth Me. Oh, blessed thought, like a shepherd, like sheep, we're led. Sometimes amid scenes of deepest gloom, He leads me. I like to sing this song, My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. This character in the Western that we listen to, he barely gets to the first water source. Barely gets to it. But he's able to drink enough and get enough thirst-quenching water and catch a little critter and cook it and eat it to get on to the next pool of water that he's been told exists way over yonder. He doesn't have water to carry with him. And if he tried to carry a canteen of water with him, he'd wear out from the weight of it, and it wouldn't make it. And so he just goes from strength to strength. You know what? That's exactly what the Christian life is. The Christian life is not like what a lot of people have done. The Christian life is not where you just store up a whole bunch in a bank somewhere, and then as you need it, you get it. That's a nice way to live. It's great. I mean, sounds like it. And more power to you if you can, but I'm not one of those. But it's amazing how we just go from one strength to the next. And what's really cool is that everybody else says, how in the world do you do that? And the answer is, I followed the shepherd. And he knew where the next pool was. There's other guys out there that they're just skeletons now, drying in the sun. Same distance, but they didn't follow the shepherds and they didn't follow the map and they didn't find the right pool. But you and I would just go from strength to strength. I'm amazed. I don't like it this way. I don't like it that everything is just, oh, we got to hang on till the next one. I wish I had it all. I wish I had a little cushion. But you know who likes us not to trust that way is the Lord. He wants us to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And we go on from strength to strength. How did you do it? We followed the shepherd. And so then it says, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You know how many believers from right now all the way to the first believer, Adam and Eve, you know how many believers that have died have appeared before God? Every last one of them. Not one of them's failed. He hadn't lost one. They're all appearing in Zion. Then verse 8. How is he blessed? Remember verse 5 says he's blessed. This blessed guy. Verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But he has heard the prayer of those who are right with him. Aren't you glad that God hears your prayer? I called Amazon today because I want to return something. Instead of sending me a return label, they sent me this little square thing, this little black square thing. And I'm supposed to take it to somebody, and they're supposed to scan it, and then it's supposed to turn into an address. And then they can send it. Well, there's nobody in Custer that'll do that. All right. I went to our local UPS store in Custer, and they said, "We don't do that here. But here's a phone number you can call. You call the phone number, and then they'll give you a label, and then you can bring it back, and then we'll mail it." Okay. I think it's called a Q something or other. All right. So I called the 888 number, the 800 number for Amazon, and this is what they said. Due to the coronavirus and the high volume of calls and everything, we are no longer taking calls. You'll have to look on our website. Goodbye. Click. Listen, friend, I don't even have to call. I've got a God who hears me when I call. I don't even have to use my phone. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Then, verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield. Look down in verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Doesn't mean that we get everything that we want. But what it means is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And God has amazing ways to meet our need, to take care of us. And he will give grace and glory and goodness. I was bragging on him Sunday morning in Sunday school how that Miss Wilma and I were talking about buying a bed. You know, because our bed is getting kind of worn out, and had it for 18 years, almost 20 years. And then we did a little shopping, and then after we did a little shopping, we thought, well, maybe we won't buy a bed. They're spendy. The one we thought we wanted, boy, we saw the price, and we thought, wow, it's one of those things that has like a tilt thing and a vibration thing. I mean, wow, that's pretty good. And then, until we found out that's just the platform. That's not the mattress. That's just the, oh. So we just kind of, well, we'll see if we get a tax return. And we found out that the tax return is not going to be like we thought it was. So I guess we just won't worry about that this year. And then all of a sudden all this stuff hit, you know, whatever. So we just kind of forgot about it. Well, then somebody heard that we were asking questions about a bed. So then they said, hey, we got a bed. It's been sitting in our relative's house for over a decade, and they never used it, really. It's pretty much brand new. Would you be interested in it? It doesn't fit in anybody else's house of our relatives. And it's the same brand that we were talking about. And it seemed like God made it to order. And it wasn't nearly the price of a new one at the store. Now, you know what? The Lord can do those things. That wasn't really an absolute need. Yeah. But every time I lay down, I think, thank you, God. That was a nice blessing. That was a blessing. I hope in your life you stop and you say, thank you, God. Hey, by the way, when you get to the next pool, because you will, when you get to the next pool of your desert crawl, would you stop and do yourself a favor? After you drink real deeply and you start to think about how you're going to get to the next one, would you just stop and do yourself a favor? Would you turn around and look behind where you already came from? Would you just remember to turn around and look at all the pools he provided for you already and how you made it to that one and you made it to that one? Are you like me? Have you forgotten all the big worries you had last year because they got taken care of? Sometimes we need to stop and go back and look at every valley we've already been through and every trial and struggle we went through. There, I guarantee you, if you're anything like me, I guarantee you something was huge on your heart and mind a year ago or 5 years ago, and y'all hardly even remember it anymore because it got taken care of. Don't forget to turn around and look at what all he's already done. The Lord has been good, and he gives grace and glory. And if he doesn't, he's got a reason for it. And then, of course, I love verse 10. I don't know who this is for sure, but if it's David, and he's sitting there maybe staring off into the distance, and he says, for a day in thy courts, better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I don't care what it is that I've got an opportunity or availability, I miss his house. It's sad right now. There's people that are allowed to go to certain places, but they're not allowed to go to church. I hope it never happens to us. But I hope you always will say, I'd much rather just be the doorkeeper. Even if Pastor Matt keeps picking on me and makes fun of me like Mr. Spear probably thinks right now, I'd rather be there than anywhere else. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Because I'm with God's people, I'm reminded what God's word says, and I'm encouraged. Sunday, for the second week in a row, a 90-year-old lady, I guess no one's told her there's a coronavirus. I guess not, because she comes in, she's just got a smile on her face, she seems to be enjoying everything, she loves it, and she's 90 years old. If I die, I said it a month ago, I'll say it again, if I die because I went to church too much, praise the Lord. What a way to go. A lot of people out there would call me crazy, but I'll tell you what a way to go. Supposed to die and worrying about things, pining away. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house. Just would. I'd rather be a doorkeeper where the focus is on him than where the focus is on everything the wicked world and the wicked media has to throw at me. Now, let me reread verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord, verse 9, behold, our God, O God, our shield. Verse 9 says, behold, O God, our shield. Genesis 15, if you don't mind keeping your finger in Psalm 84, go to Genesis 15 real quick. I want to show you something. This is a neat verse. I remember years ago, Brother Bill preaching on this verse in the old building. In Genesis 14, Abraham had rescued Lot. Abram had rescued Lot remember Lot chose the green grass, and Abram allowed God to make the choice for him? And Lot thought that the green grass of Sodom would be a whole lot better and more lucrative. And when it was all said and done, Abram saw what happened to Lot, what a mess Lot got himself into. Chapter 19 hadn't happened yet. Lot's family hadn't gone completely kaplooey yet. But in chapter 14, he had to help rescue Lot, who was living in Sodom. And he gets done rescuing Lot and leaves Lot there in Sodom. In chapter 15, verse 1, God says to Abram, "I am your shield. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Abram, I'm your reward. Abram had turned down the reward from the Sodomites. They were going to offer a reward for helping them get uncaptured. And God says, "Abram, I'm your reward." Unlike Lot and the others that think in the ways of Sodom, I'm your reward, I'm your treasure, and I'm your shield. I'm your protection. Oh, by the way, one thing I noticed when God said, "I'm your shield and I'm your reward," it happened right after Abram had paid tithes to God's priest. Just the verses right before chapter 15 is when Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek, God's priest. Let me encourage you, no matter what, always put God first. And he'll be your shield, and he'll be your exceeding great reward. Now, also in Psalm 84, "Not only behold, O God, our shield," but notice the rest of verse 9. Psalm 84, verse 9, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." Look on the face of thine anointed. The word anointed, all right? Sam, can you turn that? The word anointed, it means Messiah. In fact, the Hebrew word that you get anointed is Mashiach. And I love this picture. You've seen it if you've been paying attention to Facebook at all. I love this picture. Now, I know he didn't literally say it that way, but that's what the story of Peter walking on the water is all about. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." When did Peter start sinking? When he took his eyes off the Lord and focused on the storm. Get your eyes off the storm and look to Jesus. "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." You know that you and I look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that God the Father looks to Jesus Christ as well? Because if God looked straight at us, he wouldn't be too impressed. But God sees us through Jesus Christ. And so God allows us to have access to him only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, we'd be too scared to look to the Father without Jesus Christ. And so we look to him. And so it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to the anointed one. Look to him. Don't take your eyes off him. All these, and you know, a lot of news outlets, they tell you the scariest thing they can because that keeps you focused, right? You become addicted to it. Look to the Lord. Look to him. Sure, I don't think all the conspiracies are fake. Some of them are real. Doesn't matter. Who are you supposed to look? Look to him. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Not every storm is just peanuts. I think there really is a virus. I think it really does do serious damage to people in certain situations. Doesn't matter, though, because I'm looking to the Lord. You know why our world's a mess? You know why our nation's a mess right now? Because there are fewer Christians in America today than ever before, per capita, percentage-wise. And this is proving it. Because there are people in town that are mad that we want to celebrate victory over death. And yet they want to call themselves Christians. Now hold on a second. You're a Christian, but you're scared to die. How does that work? I don't understand that.
Look to Jesus. Look to the Lord. And trust him.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? What's the reason why he'll not fear? Because he's with me. Because he's with me. I'm just following the shepherd. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust him. Look to him. And where do you get that encouragement? Where do you get that reminder at? When you go to the store and they're all wearing masks and they're all going, 6 feet, 6 feet. You know, you go to the post office and they're behind a plexiglass and you're reminded once again. I mean, everywhere you go, it's fear, 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 storm, storm, storm. You go to church and hopefully the singing, the praying, the preaching reminds you where you're supposed to be focused. Look to the Lord. Not one person, not one of them has not appeared in Zion, Mr. Adams. They're all in Zion. Every one of our loved ones, they're all in Zion. Not one of them hadn't appeared. They're all there. They're all there. Everyone. Not one's lost. Let's pray.